Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
To the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000. Be sure to watch the show on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And you can also watch us on YouTube, youtube.com. Just search ESPN Chicago. Be sure to subscribe. Always got great stuff up on the YouTube channel for you from ESPN 1000. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, where I think we find the most frequent guest to the CDGA Golf Show. And it's a good one to have as well, as we welcome Nick Hardy onto the show. He joins us as this segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Nick Hardy, the champion at the Zurich Classic last week alongside Davis Riley, and is kind enough to make some time for us here on the CDGA Golf Show this morning. Thanks so much for joining us, Nick.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate you taking some time for us. So you win the Zurich Classic last week. How special was it for you to capture that first win?
Super special. Still wrapping my head around it, to be honest. I think it was just a week I'll never forget. And to do it alongside my partner and friend and good friend, and Davis Riley, was really special.
Nick, a winner on the PGA Tour, that's a new title that you get to carry, and that's got a nice ring to it, and it's kind of like what you described in your letter many, many years ago to your dad. So, Nick, I'd like to take you back to the beginning of the week. You missed the cut at Harbortown, and you arrived in New Orleans. What changed mentally or physically that made things all of a sudden click last week?
Yeah, to share that, for sure, like on the whole process of leading up to this week, I think there was a lot of positives in my game, and I always try to be optimistic about what's going on with my game. And no matter what happens the week leading up to a tournament, I know that I can look at certain areas of my game that might be trending, and this was no different. I feel like my results haven't really shown how well I've been playing lately. I just haven't really been scoring as well, and a lot of these tour setups that we've been seeing, especially lately, have been really tough. And it's hard to get things going sometimes and get momentum going on these golf courses, and especially seeing some of them for the first time. But I knew I was playing really good golf, and things really aligned with Davis and I. We really had a really high focus all week, and our games really were similar, and it really it worked well for alternate shot especially.
Nick Hardy is our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. So last year you played with Curtis Thompson, this year with Davis Riley. How did that partnership come to be this year?
Yeah, so I actually, for a long time, was planning to play with my former Illini teammate, Thomas Dietrich, who's had a very good season so far. And I unfortunately got news from Thomas maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago that he got asked by the Ryder Cup captain, Luke Donald, to play with another potential Ryder Cup player in Victor Perez. So Thomas had to back out, which I totally understood. When you get asked by a Ryder Cup captain to do something, I totally get it. So that had me scrambling to find a partner, and luckily Davis hadn't committed to the event. He played with Will Zalatoris last year, who wasn't going to play this year because of his back injuries. And so I got to pair up with a partner and friend that I've known for a long, long time, since I was about 15.
Speaking of Ryder Cup, with this win, you personally moved up 54 places in Ryder Cup points, putting you at 33. If we remove the live players, you suddenly are in the top 30. Does this type of performance now begin to make you think a little bit about Ryder Cup and the possibility of making the team? And with both captains in the field this past week, did Captain Zach Johnson reach out to you and Davis regarding your record performance?
Yeah, actually both yes. It does make me for sure think about the Ryder Cup a little bit. I know I'm a realist, and I know that I really need to play a lot better golf individually to be considered for that team. But the captain, Zach Johnson, did reach out to me congratulating me. I've known Zach for a long time. He's been a great mentor, really, to me for a long, long time, and he's just a great guy. So, yeah, it'd be an honor to play one day in the Ryder Cup, and certainly Davis and I have talked about the prospects of one day already being paired together in the Ryder Cup. And I know we both got to play a lot better golf to get there, but that's a goal.
You know, you mentioned Zach Johnson reaching out to you. Who was the coolest person that texted, called, tweeted, any of that stuff? What was the coolest congratulation you got?
Yeah, there's certainly a couple, but definitely a couple for me stick out. Were one being Brian Urlacher locally. He's just an incredible person. When I was like 16 years old, he would take me and my buddies out to Tsukasa, and because he was a member at the Merit Club where I have grown up and blossomed my game at. So he would get off the 18th hole and just see a few 16-year-olds and just take him out to Tsukasa like it's nothing. It was unbelievable, and he's just such a great guy, great friend, and that's always cool for me because he was my idol growing up. And another one being Aaron Rodgers. I got to meet Aaron at Pebble Beach this year, and him texting me was really special. It was a really cool moment for me.
That's got to be weird. Like, you get the Bear, you get the Packer, and did you know, like, did you ask Aaron, too, about it? Now he's a Jet. Like, thanks for leaving the division. Thanks for ending my nightmares.
Yeah, Aaron's aware that I'm a big Bear fan, so it goes out without being said for me that I'm pretty pumped that he's out of the division now.
How does this first win change things for you, Nick, as you begin to look at the rest of 2023? You and Davis both withdrew this week, and can we just assume that it's to allow you both to kind of reset your life? This has to change a lot of things for you, right?
Yeah, it's been a wild 2 days for sure for me. I've never experienced winning before. I didn't get to win at the Korn Ferry level. So it's been a whirlwind the last few days for sure. But for me, it changes a lot, obviously. I feel like the biggest thing I'm excited about is just having the security of 2.5 years under my belt going forward. I think it'll allow me to really work harder on my game and spend more energy and effort on my game and maybe prepare more weeks off so that I can work on my game harder. I feel like for the last year, I've just kind of been scrambling and playing a lot of golf. And week to week, it's been just been more about surviving and get the ball in the hole rather than, all right, let's long-term think about how I can really be the best golfer I can be. And I think playing professional golf, you always want to be in the mindset of thinking long-term.
Nick Hardy, champion at the Zurich Classic, joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. So, Nick, now that you've got this win under your belt, we mentioned the big spike in FedEx Cup points too, but how giddy is 16-year-old Nick, who's at Glenbrook North High School, how giddy is that kid that there's a realistic chance that you could be a part of the Ryder Cup this year?
Yeah, it's certainly really would be a dream come true. But I am a realist in the sense that, look, I do know I have a long way to go, and I got a lot of better golf to play individually. And I would say this just motivates me even more to go win on my own one day on the PGA Tour. And that's really where my focus is, just on the present and the next tournament, which is Charlotte, and how I can play the best golf I can to be in contention again on Sunday.
So, Nick, you had your mom and sister were able to join you and share this amazing experience. And unfortunately, your dad was not there. But I noticed on social media that every time you guys made birdies or when you make birdie, he texts out kaboom. Where did that all come from?
My dad has really coined that phrase, I would say, since I was like 9 or 10 years old. That's just his thing. When I make a birdie, he'll tweet kaboom. And it's definitely something that I don't know if he coined himself. I don't think so, but it's certainly just something that he likes to say when I make birdie, which is pretty cool.
Nick, appreciate you taking some time with us today. Best of luck moving forward, and hopefully we'll chat again down the road.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Nick Hardy on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. What a great kid. What a great story he's been. And to say he's one of the local guys from around here, lots of fun watching him every single week out there on the PGA Tour.
No doubt. He is a first-class golfer, but he's a first-class gentleman. I had just a ball talking with him before we actually did the interview. You know, and it's funny. Good things happen to good people. And Nick, you know, a lot of people don't realize he got hurt last year at this same event when he hit a shot and dug into a root of a tree and it popped something in his wrist. He was able to finish that final day, but they finished tied for 21st. And then he had to go on a you know, a 2-month layoff at the prime part of the season. And here's a kid who's just got his tour card. He's trying to keep status, right?
Right.
And that had to be just the worst feeling in the world. But come full circle, he comes back and wins that event. And if that's not karma, I don't know what is.
Right. Yep. The good kind of karma that you want there.
That's right.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump on into the conversation. So we've got the NFL draft going on right now. The Bears have made a number of picks already. Some people happy, some people not so happy, but that's neither here nor there. But it got me thinking a little bit about the golf, right? Like, in golf, there's not, well, it's funny we say this now right off the heels of Nick Hardy winning a quote-unquote team event, but there's no, like, draft or team events really in golf aside from college, high school, and then obviously now with LIV. But, like, traditionally, it is an individual sport. But, like, if you were picking a golfer to kind of start a quote-unquote franchise around, there's a number of different candidates that I think would be really good options. And I want to explore those with you coming up next. But if you've got a golfer who you would take first overall in a draft of starting a franchise, a golf franchise around, who would it be? 312-332-3776. This segment has been sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by the Highlands of Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. I believe, are you heading out to the Highlands after this?
That's where I'm going.
All right.
See Jim Vogt and all the boys.
That'll be a good time out there. 312-332-3776. This is the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. If you missed anything, be sure to check out the CDGA Golf Show podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. We just had a great conversation with Nick Hardy, Northbrook and Glenbrook North's very own, and I think maybe one of the most distinguished alums from Northbrook. I mean, how about the run for GBN lately?
It's been amazing.
I mean, you've got John Shire, head coach over at Duke. You've got Nick Hardy, just won the Zurich Classic. I mean, what the hell is Jesse Rogers doing?
I
mean, he's got to keep up.
It must be something in the water up there in Glenview and Northbrook.
Yep. 312-332-3776. We've been talking a little bit about, we've got the NFL draft going on, and golf doesn't have a draft, unlike every other sport that we see, because again, it's an individual sport for the most part. But with golf, I think there's still some fun things that you could do and imagine with a draft, right? Like, you think about who would you pick to start a golf franchise around, overarching, and then also if you wanted to get into the window of like where guys would actually be quote unquote drafted, their draft window. So some of the younger guys, if you went 26 years and under as well. So if you were to start like no order in particular, no rules, whatever, you can pick anybody on the board, who would your number one pick be?
That's a good question. It's a debate. It's a coin flip for me between Rahm and Scheffler, right? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about individual play, but, you know, we were talking at the break, if I'm Captain Zach Johnson, I'm looking hard at Nick Hardy and Davis Riley to be on the team as specialists because they shot an amazing tournament record 30 under. And just tell them upright, this is where you're going to play. But if you're just starting a general team, I mean, just being an American, I'd go Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, I think I would go Rahm right now. He's 28 years old. Like, I didn't realize he was still under 30. Like,
yeah, he's a young guy.
That to me, and he's been so relevant for so long at this point. Like, you look at what he's done, and this year in particular, like, he's been really good over the last couple of years, but this year he has taken his game to a whole new level with the Masters win. And we talked about this at the time, too, with the Masters, and I think even in the preview leading into the Masters as well. Like, people, he pulled out of an event because he was sick, right? The last event that he was playing in leading into the Masters. And I feel like people almost forgot just how damn good he was leading into this year. I mean, he top 10 after top 10 after top 10. He won a couple events as well outright. He was just that dude all year long. And then the Masters win just kind of set the stage for who he is right now. And this is a big reason why he's the world number one right now.
No doubt. And I think the PGA Tour cringes now when they hear that John Rahm isn't feeling well. Because the last time he did this at the Memorial and then went on a run and... here we are again. He goes right out to your point, wins the Masters.
Right.
But yeah, you can't go wrong with your anchor as John Rahm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's going to be the two picks right away. I mean, they're going to earn their way on the team, but those are going to be the headliners for Ryder Cup in Rome.
No doubt. And so if you were to kind of shorten this thing down into a 26 and under, number of fantastic candidates that you can look at when you think about some of these 26 and under candidates. But Scottie Scheffler, your pick, still falls in that window. You've got guys like Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, Colin Morikawa.
A healthy
Will Zalatoris. Here's the crazy thing to me. Colin Morikawa still in that 26 and under window right now.
That's amazing. When I looked at his age, I could not believe it. But he'd be another natural. Again, I consider him one of the finest iron players on the tour. But another guy, Cameron Young.
Yeah. He's certainly come into his own this past year and even towards the end of last year as well. He never was in the thick of things for a major, but he was always, you always saw his name on that leaderboard. You always saw that MLB patch making an appearance on those final days.
And being a baseball fan,
right.
I clearly notice that every time. Yep. And so, again, I have a certain affection for that. But another guy, how about Sungjae Im?
Interesting.
That guy, a lot of his peers respect his ability to make contact, and they consider him one of the best ball strikers out on the tour.
Yeah. You know, I would be really intrigued to see where Cam Smith's name would fall. And again, he's not in the 26 and under club there, but where would Cam Smith be if we were doing this, let's say, after the British Open last year?
Well, he'd be either one or two in my book. And
right.
and if we were still picking not above 26, he'd be my number two pick still right now.
Ahead of Rory.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like you look at Rory and he kind of get like he was fantastic last year in terms of like getting in top fives, top tens. But he never won a major last year. And that sort of sticks with people, and I think it's certainly played a factor in his disappointing showing at the Masters this year, being one of the three favorites to win the whole thing and then not even making the cut.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, another guy to think about, too, is Sahith Theegala.
Yes, that's, and we were talking a little bit because Sahith Theegala, he was a part of that Full Swing documentary, too, and honestly, that was part of the calculus of why I picked him in our Masters CDGA fantasy pool was because of the fact that he was featured in that. He had a brand name to him. So I started to track him a little bit. You see, he's been playing some pretty good golf this year. So why not? We'll take him going out to the Masters. And he had a fantastic rookie season last year. And this season, he's followed it up with even more. And he is another one of those super, super bright young talents in the sport.
No doubt. Yeah, and it was funny. You finished, for those who don't know, you finished 30th out of just about 4,000 people. So
I never do that,
pay,
by the way.
I know, but you ought to pay homage to Sahith Theegala for sure.
He's the reason why. Like, I was telling you during the break, like, he's the reason why I finished as well as I did.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, you look at the class of people under the 26 and under class, if you will. Mm-hmm. It is so healthy. You got Sam Burns. And again, if you really want to include everybody, another player that's over on LIV is Joaquin Niemann.
Interesting.
And that guy is still up there in the rankings, even though he's over on the LIV tour. But again, I would take, you know, a Justin Suh or a Sam Burns, you know, or a Sungjae Im before any of them.
You know, it's funny, too. We've had this conversation about all these young guys, and we really haven't mentioned Victor Hovland's name all too much either. And I think he may be the guy that I take in the 26 and under crop because while he hasn't broken through and gotten the major like we've seen Scotty do, like we've seen Colin do, but he's been right there, and you just know. It feels like to me he's going to win one, and that's going to start a run. Like we may see him get on like a Koepka run after that, where he's just major after major, and then he starts really kicking it into gear and really bursting onto the scene.
You know, there's an old saying, if you're not winning, you're learning. Mm-hmm. And he is learning. And it's not a question of if, it's just when he gets his first major.
Right.
I'm a big, big Victor Hovland fan. And he would be among, if, I mean, I would pick, I would go Scheffler, he's 26 years old, mm-hmm. and I'd go Hovland second.
You know, it's funny. I remember watching Victor Hovland. I was actually at the Glenview Park Golf Club. And we were, I was there with my dad and we were sitting down eating dinner and I just looked up on the TVs. They had the Golf Channel on, obviously. And you see the NCAA championships and he was there with Oklahoma State. And I didn't really follow college golf at the time. But this was his senior year, 2019, I believe it was. And I'm just watching him and I'm thinking to myself, huh, this is pretty interesting. And then they go through his track record and his resume. I'm like, damn, this guy's pretty good. I'm going to like adopt him and follow him. And boom, before you know it, he's on the PGA Tour. He's playing lights out in majors. One of my roommates, he works for Cisco in their sports sponsorships, and they have Hovland. So it's like a cool thing. We track Victor Hovland together because I kind of saw what he was doing when he was in college, and he kind of like works with him almost, or works for him to a degree. So it's a really cool young guy to follow. And like you said, it's not if, it is when.
It is. And here's the amazing part, and I've said this before. He's from Norway.
Right.
I mean, yeah. They're known for their skiers, not right. their golfers. Mm-hmm. But I love his demeanor. And if we could all play golf with his demeanor,
right.
golf would be such a fun game. The way he approaches it, mm-hmm. it always seems like he's in a good mood, right. even when he's not playing well.
You're right. Even he'll shank a shot and you'll still see a smile on his face.
That's right.
Yep. And he is like one of those guys who just loves golf, enjoys the sport. And sometimes that's half the battle. Like for some of these guys, it's a job. For most of them, though, like you have to have a love for it on top of that as well. And Victor is certainly one of those guys that has that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I look at Victor, love of the game. And then I look at Brooks Koepka, mm-hmm. a guy that's won some majors. But I'm not sure he's a guy that actually loves the right. game. He loves winning. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference.
Right.
And I think Victor's got an appreciation and a love for the game that most just don't have.
Right. And you can see that, too, when he's in those, like in this past Masters, he's in the group with Tiger. And I think that, to me, you see how well he played alongside the guy that's probably the reason why he plays golf, right?
That's right.
To be in that group and perform at that level was very, very eye-opening to me. Because sometimes I think you see these guys, they get in the Tiger group, and it's overwhelming. It's a lot of pressure. You're playing with your childhood idol. Like, that is a lot, especially for a young golfer and in this 26 and under crop that we're talking about here. But he went out and he ran through the field those first couple days in Augusta.
He sure did. And, you know, when he does win that first major, I'm going to be interested to hear if, in fact, Tiger, you know, gave him any sort of education, gave him right. any insight. Because, see, it's a different Tiger now
right.
versus Tiger, you know, 15 years ago. So it'll be interesting. But I can tell you, Victor was learning through observation for sure, but Tiger may have also given him a few tips here and there as well. And I look forward to Victor being a major winner, if not this year, for sure next.
So if you've got a pick, 312-332-3776, if you've got a 26 and under golfer or just anyone in the field that you want to talk about, 312-332-3776. Coming up next, Eric Ciotti from the Big Ten Network and the CDGA will join us here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you here on the CDGA Golf Show. As we head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we check in New Jersey with Eric Ciotti from the Big Ten Network and one of our friends here at the CDGA as well. He's covering the Big Ten Championships taking place out in Galloway, New Jersey right now. Good morning, Eric. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Tyler. Good morning, Mike. How are you guys?
Doing well here in Chicago. So I hear there's some weather that you've been battling out there in New Jersey.
Gentlemen, I'd like to tell you that it was nicer this weekend, but last weekend, but that would be incorrect. So it is. It's been raining most of the day. Yesterday afternoon, the conditions were extremely challenging, and talking to many of the coaches and the players, the later tee times definitely had it worse. So some of those teams that played later on in the day really struggled with the conditions, and the wind really picked up, and it was a pretty steady rain most of the day. So we're hoping for a little bit better weather today. They did push back the tee times about an hour and a half. So as we speak here, they're just now starting to tee off, so it'll go pretty far into the evening here, and we'll hopefully get an 18 more tomorrow.
Eric, well, judging on what's going on out there in the Big Ten Championship, it appears it's all about the state of Illinois, because if you look at the teams, we have Illinois currently in first with Northwestern just trailing. But individually speaking, it is littered with Illinois, Northwestern. And then a gentleman who's also from Illinois, Mac McClear, who incidentally won our Illinois State champion from Iowa and defending champion, they're all heading up an amazing leaderboard.
Yeah, no real surprises, both on the team side or the individual side. You know, Mac McClear is somebody who's played very well in this championship, feels real comfortable. I think he wants to really prove himself that he can, continue and play well. And, you know, he won this championship a few years ago, and I think he has that confidence in this tournament. So on the team side, Illinois has just been so solid all season long. They came in ranked number 3 in golf stat in the country, and they've just put on a dominating performance. They've got players up and down the lineup that have played well all season. So I expect it to be pretty close between Illinois and Northwestern here these next two rounds.
Eric Ciotti from the Big Ten Network over at the Big Ten Men's Golf Championships right now out in New Jersey. He joins us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Eric, what has stood out to you the most through, again, it's just one round in the books, but what has stood out to you the most so far?
Well, in talking to a lot of the coaches, I mean, they really want to see these players kind of fight through the conditions, and it's really going to come down to short game. Who's able to get up and down when they need it? Who's able to, you know, turn maybe what would be a high 70s round into a 74 or 75? And that's going to be a difference come Sunday. And you ask any of these coaches, they're used to playing in this weather, and I know the players are as well, but I think you'll see the team that really fights through those last 6 or 7 holes is going to come out on top. But we'll have the coverage on the Big Ten Network next Saturday. I would say just tune in. It's going to be a great finish, and you'll see some really, really cool holes out here at Galloway National. Just an awesome golf course. It's hosted a number of championships, USGA qualifiers, PGA section events. And the staff here, Jason Lamp, the director of golf, and his staff have done an amazing job putting on a first-class performance.
So, Eric, from your experience at Northwestern in collegiate golf, even up at the professional level, you've had to play in your fair share of poor weather. So going into, not to mention probably even yesterday, but from your perspective, it's day 2. You know you're going to be in for some very tough weather. What kind of mindset separates the great players from the guys that just can't tolerate it?
Well, you really have to enjoy and appreciate being able to play in these conditions. And I think that the players that enjoy the experience and are excited to be here and don't get affected by things like the weather or things that they can't control, those are the players that are going to have success. I know, you know, speaking from a player standpoint, you just have to be able to take it one shot at a time. I know that sounds cliche, but these players are great at forgetting bad shots, forgetting missed opportunities, and getting after it once they get back to, you know, back in the groove. So it's really just the process. It's making sure to take it one hole at a time and not get too, you know, you can start to make bogeys, and then you can have a decent hole where you end up three putting, and next thing you know, you're kind of hanging your head, and you just can't have that. Otherwise, you know, like I said, you're going to turn those mid 70s rounds into the high 70s and low 80s. So I think the coaches are really looking for the players that are willing to grind, are willing to fight, but also don't get bothered by playing in conditions like this.
Eric Ciotti from the Big Ten Network and the CDGA with us here live from the Big Ten Championships out in New Jersey on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. So looking forward to today, what's the biggest storyline that you're sort of tracking?
I just want to see how Adrien Dumont-Deschassard plays. I mean, he's played so well and a very decorated player. So if he's able to maintain what he's doing, and we'll have to wait and see if he gets challenged by a Mac McClear or perhaps the David Nifial, somebody from Northwestern who's had a very outstanding career as well. So look for the top players. I mean, the cream is definitely rising to the top in this championship.
Eric, with Illinois having a 6-shot lead going into today, if Northwestern or Wisconsin or Ohio State doesn't get on the ball, it looks like we could have a potential sweep of the women's and the men's going down to the orange and blue.
Yeah, can we just take a second? I know, you know, we talked last Saturday, but on Sunday, Crystal Wang from Illinois shot a course record 62.
Wow.
And set all kinds of Big Ten records. So I know some people saw that follow Big Ten golf, but 62 out at Fox Chapel Golf Club was just an incredible round of golf. So I want to give some credit to her and give a shout out to the Illini for winning that championship, but an amazing round of golf. And again, you know, Crystal Wang is somebody who has had a decorated career, just like a lot of these other players that we've talked about. So it's nice to see them performing at their best in these top championships.
You know, Eric, for those who don't know too, like just how good is Illinois as a pro, like historically as a program in the golf scene? Like, you always hear about, oh, Alabama football powerhouse, Duke basketball powerhouse. Where's Illinois sort of in the ranks among golf powerhouses?
I mean, they're right up there. I mean, to win as many Big Ten championships the last dozen years or so is really incredible. And, you know, obviously a lot of credit goes to Mike Small, but one thing, and I tell these people to a lot that ask me the same question, Mike brings in players that are ready to play at the collegiate level the moment they step on campus. So if you look back at some of the guys, and we talk about Nick, you guys had Nick Hardy on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, he's somebody that played early in his career and got a taste of playing Big Ten golf. You know, a lot of tournaments, a lot of experience, and that is just so key. When you get to be a junior, senior, and you're an upperclassman, having that experience, there's nothing that can replicate that.
So, Eric, before we let you go here, what's the buzz? Is there any sort of buzz about Nick Hardy's win from last week? And what are some of the Illinois people saying about Hardy winning the Zurich Classic?
Yeah, I think there's a tremendous source of pride, and, you know, just such a cool event to be a team event like that. And, you know, you ask anybody about Nick Hardy, and they say there's probably no one more deserving. Nick Hardy's worked very hard throughout his entire career, Illinois, junior golf, high school golf. I mean, it's nice to see that. And most of the people that I've talked to, obviously, are thrilled for him.
And anything else we need to know before we let you go here?
Again, we're going to have the coverage next Saturday. It's going to be at 10 o'clock again on the Big Ten Network. So go ahead and listen to the show from 8 to 10 like you did last week, and then tune in and watch the last 6 or 7 holes from Galloway National.
Perfect. Can't wait. Thanks so much, Eric. Appreciate it. And enjoy the day and stay dry.
Thanks, Eric.
Take care.
That's Eric.
Have a good weekend, guys. Thanks.
Eric Ciotti from the Big Ten Network, also our friend at the CDGA as well, joining us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Should be an interesting finish there. And like you said, like,
oh, yeah,
state of Illinois, well represented between the teams, between the individuals. It's a pretty good little representation for the land of Lincoln.
Well, and I have to say, you know, the USGA ranks the state amateurs, and the Illinois state amateur is always in the top 10 and pressing to get into the top 5 of all the states in the country. And that's something to be said. So be proud of ourselves, Illinois.
And listen, point. Like, it's almost more impressive because of the fact that the window to play here is so limited.
That's exactly right.
And because of that, you don't always see as many kids go into golf because it's not something that they can do year-round. You can play basketball year-round. These days, you can play baseball year-round. You can't really play golf year-round. Maybe now with the simulators and stuff like that, you can. But with golf, it's tough. You almost have to live in Florida, Arizona, Texas, Georgia, those southern states that you can play in year-round, North Carolina. Like, you need the ability to play year-round, and you don't get that here. In fact, you get, a quarter of what some of the kids down south are getting?
That's exactly right. In fact, when I was a junior golfer, somebody, you know, confronted me and said, hey, look, just so you understand how hard it is to make the PGA Tour, when you are not practicing here in Illinois, there are thousands of kids in Florida, California, Texas that are, in fact, practicing. So to your point, what Illinois does and produces in the way of very top amateur professional players is amazing. And I think it's only going to get better now because of the indoor opportunities. But when the weather is good, you know, as a CDGA, we govern 410 member clubs. So there's a lot of golf in our community. When the demand is ready to be there, we've got the courses to accommodate it. We've got youth on course programs to help juniors get better. So we're ready for that demand. And I think because of the quality of the courses, the quality of the teachers that we have, you got to remember, Kevin Weeks was Teacher of the Year. Where's he from? Cog Hill. Where's Cog Hill? Illinois.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just so proud of Illinois right now. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I can see you've got like a Lincoln hat on don't you? We will go around the CDGA when we come back here, get you all the latest things that you need to know, latest offers, all that great stuff when we come back. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our 3 Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment is brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. We had Karen from Cog Hill call in earlier to give us a little briefing on what's taken place, and also give us an update about the LIV uniforms for the volunteers, and that LIV actually comps all of them, which is a big point of contention, I think, with some of these volunteers out there. Before we get on out of here and get to what's going on around the CDGA, thank you to Jake Cantu for producing today's show. Also, don't forget, at 11 a.m., Peggy and Dion will be on. I'm sure they'll be talking lots of Bears and NFL draft today. And then 3:30 to 5:30, Jesse Rogers has White Sox Weekly leading into White Sox and Rays 6:10 first pitch right here on ESPN 1000. So, what do we have going on around the CDGA?
Well, Tuesday, we finally start the social competition series at no better place to get it started than the Glen Club up in Glenview. It'll be the CDGA Kemper Sports two-person scramble. 16 teams will earn a spot at the September 22nd finals at Bowes Creek. Big congratulations out to the 25 Mid-Am qualifiers from Maple Meadows and from Sunset Valley, led by Eric Anderson and John Ramsey of Glenview Park, all leading the way with four under as their scores, shooting 66 at Sunset Valley and 68 at Glenview, or at, I'm sorry, at Ruffle Feather, sorry. Okay. So, anyway, we also had Bryce Emery. He was the low qualifier in the U.S. Open local qualifying on Monday, and he's from Aurora Country Club, and he, too, shot four under. So we got the tournament season off underway last week and a successful one at that. Then we also have the member perk of the week. So for those that are trying to get out in May, we've got some amazing offers. Bowes Creek in the Highlands, Monday to Wednesday before noon, CDGA members, 18 holes and cart for $62. For seniors 62 and older, $55. White Deer Run is also offering 18 holes of golf with a cart for CDGA members at $59. Monday to Thursday, anytime, and after one on the weekends. So that's pretty nice. For those looking for an event to play in this summer, look at Friday, July 28th, Glenview Park Golf Club. We're going to have the ESPN CDGA Golf Listener Appreciation Outing out at Glenview Park Golf Club. So you can join Tyler, myself, a bunch of CDGA and ESPN, other folk will be there. And lastly, it's Mother's Day coming up, and it's just around the corner, May 14th, and we have spotlighted many various women's apparel and accessories in the CDGA member golf shop. Lots of you ordered last week, but there's still time for those who have not. So if you want to go to our online golf shop order, we can get it shipped to you before Mother's Day. So lots of great deals in the CDGA member golf shop.
Yep. So you want to get ahead of all of that as well. All right. So you're heading out today after this. It looks like you should be all right. You should stay dry today.
Yeah, it looks like there's some rain out in the western suburbs now. They're playing an event up at Thunderhawk, and they're expecting rain in just a bit. But I think this is going to all get out by lunchtime or thereabouts. So
the green, you got what,
150.
After 1 o'clock, yeah, 150.
Yeah, so the greens will be very vulnerable. It'll mm-hmm. be a game of lawn darts.
Yep. Sometimes a good thing, and that's fun. Yeah, so no, we're finally, it feels like starting to turn. I mean, Monday's May.
It is.
So that certainly makes it feel like more of the golf season as well. Some people always a little tentative to get out during April, but during May, that's usually when it's the perfect time to get on out.
And I don't care what happens this May, but it's going to be better than last May, because last May was the wettest on record. Mm-hmm. I think we're about to start pairing up the animals at some point, you know, because we were getting so much rain. And then we had just a glorious summer. So let's just hope the gloriousness starts Monday.
Yep. Hopefully. It should be lots of fun because, yeah, like last April was one of the longest months, I feel like, ever. This year, it's gone by a little bit quicker. And then this May, hopefully, the start of more golf coming to courses near you. Thanks again for listening. Appreciate it. If you missed anything from today, including our conversation with Nick Hardy, check out the CDGA Golf Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including on the ESPN Chicago app. For Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Aki. We will talk to you guys next week. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.